Proverbs 24. Start reading in the first verse, Proverbs chapter 24. Bible says, "Be not thou envious against evil men." Envy means to want what somebody else has. Don't desire what evil people have. Neither desire to be with them. Not only not desire what they have, don't want to be like them. Verse 2, "For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding is it is established." I love when God's word comes alive. I did have a lot of trouble hanging wallpaper, and I figured out how to do it as we went along. And people that build houses are very wise. It makes you look up at the ceiling and wonder how anything ended up in a straight line. It's very hard to do. And you build something with wisdom. We talk about the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. A fool can try to build something and learn as they go, which I did this week, or a wise person that builds something lasting does it based on the foundation of the wisdom that they have. And by understanding, it is established. Verse 4, "And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool, he openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" Verse 13, "My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it, and when thou shalt be, and then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." It occurs to each of us that we should want to do what is right, because the reward for doing right is better than the consequence for doing wrong. But the proverb has to be explained to us in our young lives or in our old lives that you want to do right, you want to have wisdom, you want to make the right choices so you have the right consequences for what you do and not the wrong consequences for doing the wrong. Verse 15, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." That's very easy to read and understand. It's hard to live out, not be glad when our enemy stumbles, lest the Lord see it, which this is kind of a conditional statement. If God sees it, well, if God is God, then he sees it. God will see it, but don't do this. There's a chance God might catch you doing it. But lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. You might distract God from exacting his wrath on the wicked, and you might, by laughing at that, you might turn him away, and he'll stop being wrathful on the wicked and turn it to someone else. "For there shall no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" All right, and they just read most of the chapter, but what I want to draw attention to is there is a process. Dad and I talk, and he's allowing me, like I said, sometimes I'll make some statement that obviously he already thought of, but he's allowing me to realize what he already knows, and that there's a process in life. You just don't become right in every area. You don't learn without going through the experience, without having the experience of learning. And there's a process in each one of our lives to get to wisdom, to making the right choices. And the Bible talks about that authority. "My son, fear thou the Lord." Have respect to God and the king and not only your divine authority. We talk about as Baptists, we believe in the biblical authority, in God's word, that this is what determines our faith and practice. This is what we follow, God's word. But it also says the king, who, as we all know, the ruler in civics or in politics or in our jobs, the people that we follow, that person doesn't necessarily follow God's word. So we have a divine authority, and we have the civic authority, or the other authorities in our life. That verse says it's in verse 22, 21, them that are given to change. Now, all change is not bad. I have stated that before. Things have to change in order to grow, and you have to change and adapt in order to become what God wants you to be. But those that are given to change is talking about changing authorities, changing, like when I talked about changing, so we're not going to change the word of God or change, you know, the right biblical way you do things. And I think we're all in agreement on that. You don't change that. And this verse is talking about changing that authority over you, someone that's constantly trying to overthrow or take hold of the authority. And what I want to get to is all authority comes from God. It talks about it in several places, but God has authorities in our life. We use that word responsibility, and that means somebody that's able to give a response. If I'm responsible for my finances, then they say, I gave you $500, what did you do with the money? If I'm responsible as a husband for my family, for my kid when it comes out, I am able to give an answer for that, for I'm able to respond. I'm able to respond to God's authority, and I'm able to respond to man's authority. That's what responsibility means. Gaining or learning that ability. And of course, am I as responsible as I should be? No. Is anybody other than Jesus and God? No. But you learn that responsibility. You learn that respect. Now, the word respect to talk about, when we look back, when you say like a pair of spectacles, you're looking at something, you're inspecting it. Respect means to turn back and look. I remember when I was dating Chantel, Dad was worried about us because we were in love. You know, we had been dating a month and we were already planning our wedding and naming our children. You know, we were in love and Dad was worried about us. And he said, I only want you to see her 4 days a week. Well, I was already seeing her son every day of the week, you know, at church and every day pretty much. And when he said that, it made me mad because I wasn't in sin. You know, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just in love and I wanted to be with this girl. And at that moment, this is what went on in my mind as I thought about, in 20 years from now, is it really going to be worth it with me and my dad having this fight over this girl I just met 2 months ago, even though I love her and I know we'll be together forever, and thankfully it worked out. But is it really worth it? That respect, that turning back to look at my father who had provided for me and, you know, fed me, well, too much, but he had taken care of me and had all that provided for me. At that one moment, he might have been in the wrong. He might have been, you know, it might have been wrong to take me away from, I don't think he was, but if that was my opinion, he might have been wrong in that one case. But to respect him enough to look back and say, well, look at the whole picture. Is it really worth walking away from everything? Like Dad talked about my grandpa, if your feet are under my table, Chantel is in junior church and I'm usually in here listening. And Dad made that comment, well, if your feet are under my table, then you're going to obey my rules. So she was sitting at the kitchen table listening to it yesterday, I think. And she's like, so did he just turn and eat like this so his feet weren't under his table anymore? I was like, no. But just that mentality of you take the good and the bad. You take the wisdom that you like, the wisdom that tastes good like honeycomb now, and it makes sense to you, and you know that good things are going to come of it, you take that, but then you take the bitter parts that you don't understand, that don't make any sense to you, because of the respect you have for something. To look on something again, to look at it in a new light. I'll be honest with you, I don't hate anybody, but almost everybody I talk to, I imagine them as dead someday. I know that's morbid, but I imagine them at the end of their life and think, is what I'm doing right now really worth the way I feel about it? You know, if I get in an argument with somebody, is that really worth, when I'm with their family at their funeral, if the Lord tarries and I stay here, I might be doing a lot of the funerals of the people in this room. So is it really worth it out of respect to those people? Probably not DJ, but I don't know. But out of respect to those people, to act the way that I act toward them. In the same way, my respect or love for my dad, I'll take his word for it. Even if in my, you know, puny little mind, I think he might be wrong. Based on the respect I have for him, I'll do what he says is right to do as an authority in my life. A disrespectful person, I don't like graffiti or just people that, you know, trash things, have a bad attitude. A disrespectful person fails to look back and see, even like somebody at a school or on a public property, somebody that defaces money or defaces property, they fail to look back and see what it stands for, an American flag or a soldier, somebody that doesn't respect a veteran. It might not be an evil intent to, you know, take over the world or usurp authority, but it's just a failure to consider the importance of what that means to them. I know this is a young man giving a kind of, you kids get off my lawn kind of sermon, but it's that old nature to look back and say, remind yourself of where you come from. Remind yourself of why you have what you have. Responsibility is based upon respect. If you are able to respond for something, you have respect for it. Jesus said to the disciples, he didn't say, I will make you great leaders. He did say, I'll make you fishers of men. But the very first thing he said is, follow me. Follow after me. Follow my authority. Learn of me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I like being part of big things. I went to college, and we were part of the bus ministry. We brought thousands of people. I was only responsible for a handful of them, but I was part of something big. Yesterday, I'll confess my sin to you, we had the prayer meeting with the guys, and Terry was here. I don't know why he did this, but he brought his hot rod to the prayer meeting. And he had a electrical problem or something with the starter, and it wouldn't start. So I came back in to get wire to connect his battery to his starter so he'd get the thing turned over. So we go out there, and I should not have walked out there with him, but I walked out there to watch him, and he got it started up. And he's like, come on, get in, and we'll go for a ride. So he takes me in his hot rod, and we're going down the road. He's like, brum! And he just the... I don't even know. I can't even explain it. There's times in life where your face just starts moving. You know, you can't explain why. And just that rush of adrenaline, just that little taste of freedom, you know, even though he's on the road and he's supposed to obey the rules. But anyway, you know, he's burning up rubber and going down the road. All that potential, all that gasoline being pumped through an engine and a hot rod engine and that rush of exhilaration that I should not have experienced because it will create an appetite in me that I can't meet. But just for that 1 second, all of that potential coming together and going that fast down the road. I like being part of something big. Now, I could go to the junkyard and get every single part of his hot rod and then go to the gas station and spend $40 and, you know, get 2 drops of gas and have all the gasoline and have all the parts and have all the rubber and all the connections and put it in a big pile, and I could probably light it on fire and get it ignited, but I wouldn't be able to channel it in such a way to move myself anywhere. I wouldn't be able to figure it all out in order to move myself down the road like I was able to with Terry, who knew how to use it. And in the same way, there's authorities in our lives. Here's a worldly example. My sister, Jessica, went to college in Florida, and when she got done with college, she wanted to work for Disney World. She wanted to work at Disney World. And they have rules for everything. They have, you can't wear sunglasses, even though it's Florida, you can't wear sunglasses because they want you to make eye contact with the guest, you know, with the people there. And if they can't see your eyes, then it's harder for them to communicate with them. If somebody asks you for directions, you can't use one finger to point. You always have to use a whole hand or 2 fingers to point. And they have to wear a certain kind of shoe. And it sounds kind of silly, but in order to work for the mouse, in order to work for Mickey Mouse, you have to obey the rules. In order to be part of something that big, you got to fit into what they want you to do. And I know it's a silly example. It was, you know, it's just like Terry's car. In order to get in the car and go where you want to go, be part of that experience, you have to obey the rules of physics and gravity and propulsion and all this stuff in order to make it work out. And each of us have authorities in life. And if authority comes from God, it's kind of like this scheme. If God is over all authority, even good or bad, if we're subjecting ourselves to the authority, we might have one lousy ruler in our life. I think I like politics. I think it's fun. I guess I have like to watch people fight. But anyway, I like politics. And right now it doesn't look promising. You know, you worry about it. You worry about the condition of the world. But we get into this mindset where we tear each other apart. We're not realizing that either some of those people have already been in authority, they already have influence, they already do, they already have power that God has given to them, good or bad. I mean, it's easy for us to say that George Washington was put in place by God and the founding fathers were put in place by God, but the Bible says that authority is God puts kings in their place. God put those people in their place, and it's hard for us to say, well, so-and-so is not who I would, and it's our choice who we vote for, but to say, well, they're a bad authority that God obviously, you know, was asleep that day. When you move out from under authority, when you move out from under what God has set up, you have to go all the way up the line. So all the way back up to God's authority. God must not have been thinking that day when he put that person in charge of me. God, not, you know, I had bosses that I hated in Chicago that would just you know, they would kill you. There was no union. I never worked for a union before, but just an authority that had no concern for your well-being, that just wanted to get, you know, that's pretty much everybody. They just wanted to accomplish what they had set out to accomplish. But and it was my choice to work for them. But the whole point is, by basing ourselves under the authority of God, it's hard for us to question authority and not question God. I know it's kind of foreign to each of us, but even in politics, in school, in work, everything you do, the more you question who's above you, the more you're questioning God's influence in your life. You're saying, well, God has no power in this part of our, again, our perception of God changes because of how we perceive those authorities in our life. So, what should we do for our authorities? And it's in 1 Timothy. Actually, I joked about the mother-daughter banquet, but I did kind of yell at the ladies in a sweet way about authority in our life, because, actually, I'll read that to you first. In Titus, it says in Titus chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Paul's saying it's important what you say, it's important what you do, it's important the way you say it, because your actions, what you're doing, is either going to enforce the will of God. We talked about the traditions of men making God's word of no effect, or they're going to blaspheme the words of God. And that's no more evident than if I, okay, just again from that big picture point of view, fast forward yourself 6 years from now, and I'm standing up here telling you how to be a good parent, and you, the whole back of the auditorium is hearing screaming and cursing of my child and my wife, and that would kind of defeat what I'm saying up here, right? If it's a total opposite that's going on in my home, if it's pretty obvious that I don't follow what I say. In the same way, as a mother, or as a father, as an elder in the church, if we're not following these things, we're just blaspheming what God's word says. We're setting up ourselves as an authority, and then we're saying, follow after me, but we're turning our back on what the word of God says. So all of our responsibility is based on our respect. We won't be responsible for ourselves or for our church or for our families if we don't respect ourselves or our church or our families. And now we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So Paul said, I taught you some things, remember what I said, do them, be in a big group of people, have other faithful men that you're accountable to. This is foreign to us. Responsibility, you know, the tendency is to say, that's not my fault. That's so-and-so's area. Go to them. You know, I like being the associate assistant pastor because there's still one more level that I can push back and say, well, I think Dad should have taken care of that. But that's my lesson, is to learn what I am responsible for, and each of us have that in our own families. We can blame society or television or the school system or any other part of the world for our problems, but when we respect something, we take responsibility for it. Okay, so, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So again, a soldier is out to follow orders, is out to do what is required of him. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So if a person is striving to receive the recognition, you say someone is a master of education or receives a master of whatever they're over, you know, they have mastered the subject. If they're striving for that, if they meet all the requirements but they don't follow the law, they don't follow what the law says to do, they're not going to receive that mastery. They're not going to receive that position or authority. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Here's what I'm talking about. Paul wrote to the Romans under Caesar. He wrote from prison. He wrote from near-death experiences. And he said, obey them that have rule over you. Now, it's easy for us to say that today, I think, compared to what Paul had to go through. He was not in a, you know, a republic democracy. He was not in America when he said that. He wasn't free. He didn't have freedom of speech when he said a lot of the things that he said. But he commanded his followers, as any Christians, to submit themselves to the authority in their life. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, for the sake of the Christians, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is not saying that somebody besides God determines our salvation. It's saying that Paul says, I'm living the life, I'm doing these things for the sake of those who are either saved or going to get saved, for the testimony before you. I'm not doing it for my own good. It's hurting me, Paul says. It's hurting me. It'd be a lot easier for me to say, Caesar is Lord. You know, worship Caesar. It'd be a lot easier for me to not preach the gospel and not be in prison. But I'm enduring this hardness. I'm enduring this for the sake of the gospel. That's why he went through what he went through. That's why we go through what we go through. And each of us have authority in our life. I don't have a present boss that I can't stand. I like working here. I like working for my dad. There were times when the authority in my life wasn't that way. And it's up to us to do to make the right choices. Now, as Christians, going back to 1 Timothy, it says in chapter 2, I exhort, therefore, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Okay, that was 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the first three verses. Verse 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Obey authority. And I'm not sure if I ever told this story before. I was working in Chicago, living in Indiana, and at the state line there was a horrible speed change from about 55 miles per hour to 30 miles per hour. And sometimes I was not asleep, but I would kind of lull off and be driving and be on cruise control and not slowing down. And I got pulled over a couple times for that. And one time I was doing the previous speed limit in the new state. I was doing 55 in 30 or something like that. I was not obeying the law. And God's authority for my life, a police officer pulled me over and said, well, you're from Michigan. Let's throw a third state in there. You're from Michigan. You're in Indiana. No, you're still in Illinois. And Michigan and Illinois don't have a relationship where I can just write you a ticket and you can pay it in the mail. I have to write you a ticket. It's in triplicate form, so there's a record of this ticket that I wrote you, and you have to pay me $75 cash. Now, I didn't have $75. All the losers in my car didn't have $75. So he's like, well, I already wrote the ticket, so you have to come with me to the station, and we'll try to call somebody to give you this money so you can pay this ticket. So we went to the station. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and again, I didn't have the money. And while we're sitting there in the station, and he's filling the thing out, and he's a real nice guy. I think he was a devout Catholic. So he asked me, like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm going to school to be a minister. And at that point, he's like started crossing himself, and he felt really guilty for pulling this guy over, even though I was the one that had done wrong. And he got a call. A domestic call came in. He was the only guy at the station. Somebody was having a fight with their husband or wife, and he had to respond to it. He's like, well, I have to leave. You're the only one here, so you're going to have to go over there. And he points into this holding cell in this prison, you know. And he's like, just go in this little room and sit. I'll be back. We'll figure this out. And he's still really worried because he's very religious, you know, and he's worried about me. So he puts me in this, not prison. I was not in prison. He put me in this holding cell, in this cell. You thought I was pretty innocent. And I get in there and I look and there's this place for, I was not handcuffed, but there's this place to tie handcuffs down. And it's like padded, you know, so they can't sue for abuse or whatever. And there were like teeth marks on the thing with the handcuffs for this person and like tried to chew his way out of, you know, this is like a horrible experience for me. But so I sat there for like 3 hours and I finally had to call my fiance to bail me out, and she gave my friend the money and paid him back, and it was just a horrible experience. But it was God's authority in my life. And thankfully, that only happened one time where I had to sit in the holding cell. Some of us, God's going to use. Now, there were probably, there were probably rapists and drug dealers and thieves and all kinds of people out that night. But God led that police officer to pull me over, to exert his authority in my life, when there's probably been other people that we would say would be much more deserving of 4 hours in the holding cell. But he chose me. God's authority in my life chose Adam to learn a lesson that night. And a lot of times, whatever point God has to take us to, whatever authority God has to use in our life, no matter what it is, no matter, it might be your boss at work, it might be a parent. And that one thing I talked about, the mother-daughter, but my mother taught me, when you don't understand something, you still, to the best of your ability, you follow it, because that's what God commands you to do. So when my mom gave me the gospel and talked about the consequences of doing wrong, the consequences of sin, I believed her, because she had always had consequences for my sin. She'd always had, right and wrong. If you do wrong, you have this. And God will use, he would rather use his word. He would rather have us all meet in Bible studies every night and, learn the deep truths of the Bible and that meat of the word, not the milk. That was what I was referring to with the baby food. But he'll have us to learn those deep truths however he can get them to us. If we're not mature enough or responsible enough to, seek them out in the Word of God, he will use Officer Vega at 2 o'clock in the morning and a holding cell to teach us a lesson. He'll use the authority in your life to teach you the lesson, good or bad. We believe God has all power. He works. He works through things that happened this week, through cyclones and earthquakes. He works in great, massive ways. But he also, as he talked about in the Old Testament, that still, small voice, that's also God. That's also him working in our life. So, since these authorities, all of them, are so present in our life, and it's not our responsibility to change them. I believe if you've got a problem with a job, if you have a problem with a church, if you have a problem with your Rotarian Club or the Lions or whatever you belong to, if you have a problem with that, as the authority in your life, it's your, it's your choice, especially here in this country, of being where you want to be, of submitting yourself where you want to submit, good or bad. The law is totally open to you, but it's not your place to usurp the authority in somebody else's life. And in this illustration, if I was displeased with my job, I would not go to everybody else that worked there and say, here's why I'm leaving, here's what I have the problem with, and tear apart the authority in their life, because that authority comes from God. So, as we approach decisions, as we approach every day of life, as a kid goes through a new grade in school, as a teenager, as I experienced with my father, saying, is it really worth it to look back at all he's done for me and to really pitch a fit and get mad about this one decision, not as my boss, but as my father when I was a young person? That authority, moving ourselves out from under God, is the wrong thing to do, because God taught me a lesson with my dad. He taught me a lesson with the holding cell, and God will teach us any way we'll let him. If God can only teach us through negative experience after negative experience, he probably would much rather have us absorb it without the work, but most of us are too stubborn to get it that way. So God uses these authorities in our life. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, praying for all men and for kings, for all that are in authority. Pray that their life is good. Pray that they receive what they need, and pray that in their behalf. Say to God, in case they're not praying, and a lot of us would say, well, people in government, people that make these decisions, they're not obviously thinking about what God would want, so we should pray with that in mind, that they might not be mindful of what God has for them, and pray in their defense. In the book of Nehemiah wasn't the person in sin. He wasn't responsible for all of the judgment of God and for the destruction of Jerusalem and the wall, but he said, God, forgive me. God, forgive my sin. And he took the blame and he took the responsibility of that sin, of that reproach to God. So pray for your authorities. Pray for your leaders. And again, I am learning. I am learning respect. I am learning responsibility. And thank God for all those other experiences in life. I'd say to younger people, say, and that was the end of the story. After he got all done, he felt so bad, and he should not have, because he was in the right in pulling me over and putting me in the cell. I said, thank you. You know, I said, thank you for tonight. Thank you for whatever, for doing your duty, you know, and he was shocked by that. And each of us need to get to the point in our life where we say, God, thank you for this trial. Thank you for this authority. It might just be a fact of life that's an authority. You know, there might just be the truth of you can only handle so much. Know your limits. I already said I had to walk away from that wallpaper. I did the best I could, and I didn't even look real close. I just had to walk away and know my limits. I can't play Monopoly. I cannot play a game involving money because I'll start to pull my hair out. It always works out worse than life, and it's just know your limits. That authority, that limit in your life, for me, it's being obsessive, compulsive, and never setting something aside and being done with it, and you know, always picking it back up and trying to make it better. But know those limits. You realize that what God has given you, those limits, those boundaries, those things that are there to protect us, they might not taste good now. They might not be sweet like honey now, but they're there. The wisdom is there for you to learn from, and so you can take it and pass it on to somebody else. Again, Dad lets me think I make dramatic, life-changing statements, but we're each of us headed somewhere. We're not done. Everybody in this room is not done teaching somebody else. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is trying to learn from you. I think I mentioned tonight with Brother Chuck, I'm learning from that man's testimony. That's the same for everybody else in the room. But there's a testimony you're setting up. There's a foundation you're laying, and God is using your authority, the respect that you have earned. Don't squander it. Realize it's a gift from God. Pray for all of your leaders. Pray for those who God has put in your life, good and bad. God placed them there. God's using them. Respond to that. Respond rightly to those wrongs in your life. Do the right thing. Take the high road. Don't be petty, but respond in the right way despite how you feel about it, despite what you really want to do. There was a man here yesterday at the quilting. I'll close with this, but they called and said, Adam, there's somebody here he needs to talk to, a minister. He wants to talk to somebody from the church. He has a lot of questions. And I almost agreed with everything he said. He was kind of mad at God over the last couple years, and it's hard for me to argue not knowing what I don't know about his life, but he was, you know, kind of fed up with religion in general. If you ever read, I think it's called In His Steps, but the book that inspired the bracelet, What Would Jesus Do? A man walks into church and says, I'm so sick of this fakeness of people. You know, we'll give you an hour on Sunday, but leave me alone the rest of the time. He kind of had that opinion about people. He had asked for help, and he had asked for, you know, just explain this to me. And if we're not careful, we'll be so picky about who's in charge of what and who's over us and what lesson we're supposed to be learning, we won't be achieving what God wants us to do. And God's using everything in our life to teach us how to endure hardness, how to follow the Great Commission, how to get the gospel out to everybody. So that's my last story, is that there are people there that need the help, and they're not getting it because we're so obsessed with, did God really put this trial, did God really put this encumbrance in my life? And that's where we spend our time. And then we're powerless to respond the way God wants us to respond. So pray for your authority, put it in the right category, pray for each other, pray for teachers, pray for everybody in your life that is making a difference, and then don't shun away from God's leadership in your life. Realize, thank God for the authority he's placed in there. Thank God for the correction that all of us receive, and be thankful for it. So let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word, and thank you for setting up some what we might say are obstacles, but setting us up to learn from our entire life. Thank you for giving us what we need, and whether we realize or not, for teaching us your word anyway, we'll accept it, and just showing us the right way to go. I pray you'd use every leader, every authority in our life to show us your will. I pray you'd be with my dad as he gets ready for Sunday, and be with each of us. Help us to honor you in all we do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.